I'm feeling really, really mellow today. I think it's because I listened to some Stefan Molyneux podcast videos. Same difference, because he does everything in podcast and video. I listened to some Stefan Molyneux this morning, and he was very calm in all of them, and I think it's affected me. So normally, as we go into an episode of Stating the Obvious, you know, like starting real soon, I'd be screaming about your ass and Obama's cock and fuck you and all this other shit. But you know what? I'm just gonna mellow the fuck out today, and we're gonna listen to the intro, and then we're gonna do shit. You can scream and shout with all your might. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. Either you are wrong or I am right. This is the mellowest I've ever been for an episode of Stating the Obvious. Is that not true, Randy? In the control room, over there on the other side of the glass, is the lovely and adorable Randy. Yeah. Here we are. What is today? March the 18th. I can't believe it's already March the 18th. Oh, my goodness. I am the great one himself. I'm very fucking mellow today. This is so unlike me. We're over 30 seconds into the podcast, and I have not yet screamed out fuck you at the top of my voice. 18th of March, 2013. I am the great one himself. This is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. We're on the internet at cynlibsoc.com. If you want to send us an email, you can send that to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com. Well, some things never change. I still can't talk. So I want to follow up real quick with a couple more things that tail off of the previous podcast. The previous four podcasts, in fact, where I spent a lot of time ragging on women as a gender. Because I always think of things I forgot. And I'm not going to try to put all this in context. If you want to know the context, go back and listen to the previous four editions. I'm not your mother. I can't fucking spoon feed you. But I've been talking about how women and their ethics and their morals always take second place. When I say always, again, remember, I'm generalizing. Yes, there are some women who are exceptions to this, but I'm speaking in very broad strokes here. For women, their ethics and their morals take second place to their desire to conform and to obey, because for women, community is the most important thing, and they're going to do whatever they need to do in order to conform with the society around them, regardless of how moral or immoral what they're doing is. When, of course, they have morals, and when, of course, they have ethics, and when, of course, they have standards. And, of course, I've talked a lot about women killing their own children, blah, blah, blah. So there's just two other little incidences that I've personally experienced that I just wanted to throw in as more anecdotal pieces of evidence to this. Here in Fort Collins, I live in an area town highly populated by the college crowd. And there's a, so I'm sitting, I'm hanging out one day, I'm at the house, and this woman comes by, and she says, do you know, she asked me something about the people who lived next door, and I said, well, they moved out, because there were these bunch of girls who lived in there, and they had moved out, a new group is moving in. And the woman says, well, yeah, I knew all that, I'm from the property management company. Well, they left their fish sitting on the porch, and they had left a fish bowl with a fish in it sitting on the porch in the summer in the direct sunlight. Now, if women are so fucking compassionate, why would you leave a living animal, a fish, sitting on the porch in the sun and just like move and just go and just leave it? And somebody say, well, maybe they forgot. You know, there's two possibilities. They forgot about the fish, or they deliberately left it there. And this is one of the big things I have about pets. Because when you take care, when you bring in a pet, that animal is dependent on you to be kept alive. And if you're not willing to keep an animal alive, if you're not willing to care for the pet, as if, I mean, frankly, as if it were another person, as if it, you know, and I always make fun of people who refer to their dogs as their children. That, I find that slightly disgusting, and I think women who refer to themselves as doggy mommies and their dogs as their children, I think those women have psychological problems. But at the same time, while calling your dog your child, or calling your cat your child, or even calling your fish your child, is a little messed up when you do it in a, when you do it seriously. I'm not talking about when you're joking or when you're playing around. To say those things seriously is to have psychological problems. But to have a pet, whether even if it's a fish, and not treat it like another human, would you go off and fucking leave your baby on the front porch in the sun? You know, would you go off and leave your dog on the front porch in the sun? Apparently, these three young girls had no problem with going off and leaving this fish on the porch in the sun where it would heat up and die. So, to you three filthy little cunts, if you're listening to this, I'd like to say fuck you, and I hope you all die violently, slowly, in a terrible car wreck. Now, the other example I want to throw out there is, I have a friend of mine. She's a good friend. I love her a lot. And we were discussing something, and she was telling me about how if people riding a bicycle are like not in the bike lane or something, I forget the exact details, but she said there are conditions under which, I stuttered there because I was like, I'm sorry. She says there are conditions under which when you're driving a car, if a bicyclist is in your way, you can hit the bicyclist with your car. And it's okay to do this because it says you can do this in the Colorado State Driving Manual. Now, this is one of those things where people always say, well, the truth will set you free. The truth doesn't set you free. The truth makes you miserable. Because when you become an ANCAP and you recognize the truth of the fact that people all around you, including people that are your friends, people that you care about and that you love dearly, knowing that these people will do physical violence, to include killing other human beings, to include killing you when it's convenient for them. So this is a woman, right? You women think you're so morally high and mighty and you've got all this high ground. This is a woman saying, I will use my car and deliberately impact my automobile with a person riding a bicycle because the state says it's okay for me to do that. You know, so when you're sitting there with a friend of yours and knowing that this person will kill you, knowing that this person will do physical assault to you because she can, because the state said so. And then to have to listen to you fucking women talk about how morally superior you are to men and how, you know, if the patriarchy didn't rule the world, how wonderful everything would be because there'd be no killing. I mean, I assume by no killing you're excluding, you know, when you kill your 7-year-old child by stabbing him 100 times. And I assume you're excluding all the animals that you murder. And I assume you're excluding from that all the people you run over because they're riding their bicycle and they got in your way. So I really need all of you feminist cunts to go to the bathroom right now. Just stick your head in the toilet and keep it in there until you pass out. Now let's get to what I want to talk about today. Today's podcast is about anarchy. I'm watching, I don't know if it's the new because I'm really behind on movies, but I'm watching a Batman movie. I think it's The Rise of the Dark Knight or Return or something. It's the one that has Bane in it. And by the way, it's, God, it is bad. Oh, I'm watching this because just because this is one of those movies that I want to make fun of. This movie is so, so bad. I mean, I don't know who wrote this. You know, when you're making a superhero movie, and I will watch pretty much any superhero movie because I like the superhero concept in general. When you're making a superhero movie, the first time the superhero makes his appearance, it needs to have a little bit of fucking drama. I mean, Batman's first appearance in this movie, I mean, he just sort of appears on the screen. There's no drama. There's no flashbang. I mean, there's nothing. It's just, the whole movie is just so flat. And the dialogue is so bad. It's just cliches after cliches. Everything is just so blah. It is just blah. I mean, you know, guys, people, when you're trying to do this, go look at the original Spider-Man movie and see how the hell it's done. What was the other? Oh, and the first Iron Man. I went to see the first. Well, I didn't go to see. I watched on DVD because I didn't go to theaters. Because people get shot going to theaters. When I watched the first Iron Man movie, I had very low expectations. That one blew me away. Great example of how to make a fucking superhero movie without fucking it up. And on the other hand, there's Thor. God, Thor was so traumatic to watch. I have not seen the Avengers movie yet, so it's coming up. All right, anyways. Now, so this is what made me start thinking about anarchy. Because if you haven't seen this movie, here's a short version. Bane comes to Gotham City, and basically, which Gotham City is New York, so it's out on an island, and he blows up all the bridges, and he traps all the police officers. That's brilliant. He manages to trap all the police officers in the sewers and blow them up, so they're trapped down there. So now, and then he goes out, and essentially all the poor people in New York City rise up to overthrow the rich people. And so it's sort of, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, okay, this is what the stupid people, this is what the statists, this is what the 99% would think anarchy would look like. There'd be some warlord ruling over the city, you know, and people would be destroying things, and there'd be justice in the streets, and by justice I mean people killing other people for stuff and all this other, you know, and rape and murder and theft and everything. Because this is what you people think anarchy looks like. So the question here is, in an anarcho-capitalist society, would gangs of criminals led by warlords, since I learned to talk, gangs of criminals led by warlords, would they roam the streets and rule the world? Would they oppress the powerless and take what they want? And if they did, of course, how would that be different from what we have now? Because right now, in the United States of America, we are ruled by a warlord, the President of the United States, and he is supported by a gang. He's supported by the police, by the military, and this gang, the government, the state, they take what they want. Income taxes, they take it. Eminent domain, they take it. If you have money, they take it, because you might be going to use that money for a drug deal, right? You know, coming into your house with searching your stuff without a warrant, taking things, seizing your property because you may or may not have committed a crime, spying. So, I mean, the first question, of course, is how would that be different from what we have now? The answer is it wouldn't. So the next part of this is, in this anarcho-capitalist society, there's going to be all this crime, right? There's going to be all of this chaos and rape and murder. So we need the government to prevent the crime. So the government, in your mind, prevents crime. So my question is, if the government prevents crime, why do we have crime? We have a government. It's extremely powerful. Our police forces have armored cars. They have snipers. They have machine guns. They have body armor. They have bombs. They have drones. They have surveillance. They have unlimited funds. So how is it, if the government prevents crime, why do we have crime right now? And why is it that you're not able to see this? Why is it you're not able to see this as a problem? So here's an example. Here's a analogy. Here's me trying to talk. What if you and I are sitting in the coffee shop and we're working on our laptop computers, and you said to me, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Would you watch my computer while I'm gone? I said, yeah, sure, I'll watch your computer. So you go to the bathroom, you come back, and your computer is gone. And you say, where'd my computer go? And I say, oh, somebody stole it. And then I say to you, oh, by the way, if you want me to watch your computer, I'm going to need some more money. Now, would that work? Would you give me like a $10 bill? No, because you would look at that situation and you would realize how incredibly fucked up it is. But when it comes to the state, you can't do this. The state, the government, the police force, you know, the military, the Department of Homeland Security, all these people, they say, well, we're going to keep you safe. We're going to prevent crime. Okay. And then crime happens. And then they come to you and say, well, we need more funding. And you go, yes, we must raise taxes so that we can get more police, so that we can be protected from crimes. But the police aren't protecting you from crimes now. Now, I'm not going to talk about this in depth, at least not in theory, but one of the Stefan Molyneux videos I'm going to link to you below, the one about Netscape and Internet Explorer, which starts off talking about computers, but then he goes into talking about, and this was brilliant. As I listened to this morning, it was one of those moments that I have when I'm listening to Stefan where I just go, God damn it, that is so fucking brilliant. So here's a summary. You know, Stefan points out that the police do not protect anybody from anything. All of the protection we have in our life comes from the private sector. And here I'm paraphrasing his argument, and I'm blatantly just sort of repeating him because this is so brilliant, it cannot be improved on. When you leave your house, nobody steals anything from your house. Why do they not steal from your house? Is it because there's a police officer standing outside your house guarding it? Well, no. It's the reason Stefan talks about is because you lock the door. And where did the lock come from? It came from the private sector. The other reason people, of course, don't steal anything from your house is because, unlike what you believe because you've been listening to state propaganda and reading Thomas Hobbes, the fact of the matter is, most of the people around you have no desire to come into your house and steal things. What you've been told, especially if you have a Hobbesian point of view on life, is that everybody around you wants to kill you. Everybody around you wants to steal from you. Everybody around you wants to rape you. Everybody around you wants to take advantage of you. That human beings are just these savage, hate-filled animals that want to kill everybody else for their own personal pleasure and take what they have. And the only thing that stops them from doing this is the state. Without the government, we would live in the Hobbesian world where life is short, brutish, and miserable, and where everybody's killing each other. And in fact, most people have no desire to do those things, and the people who do desire to do those things, most of them don't want to do it themselves. The number of people who are willing to come up and actually steal from you themselves is very small. What they do is they elect politicians to steal from you, right? They elect politicians to raise taxes and steal. Or if, let's say, my neighbor doesn't like the fact that I own a gun, okay? Most people, that neighbor isn't going to come over to my house and try to take the gun away from me by force. No, what they do is they elect politicians who will pass laws, who will then send the police to my house to shoot me and take the gun from me. So even among the people around you, those who do want to do violence to you, they're not going to do violence to you themselves because they're cowards. They want somebody else to do violence. And that is the point of the state. I'm actually getting ahead of myself in my own notes. But Hobbes is the Hobbesian point of view. Hobbes' point of view in his books and his writings, the Leviathan and all of this other stuff. His whole point, and I'm keep in mind I'm trying to summarize a very fast piece of thought that Hobbes has put out in a couple of sentences. Hobbes says that we as human beings are violent. We come together, we form the social contract in which we say, I will not kill you if you don't kill me, and then we create the state to enforce that social contract. So what Hobbes is saying is that the state is the entity which prevents people from killing other people. And Hobbes is completely ass backwards. The state is the entity that enables people to kill other people. Without the state, there can be no World War I. Without the state, there can be no World War II. Without the state, there could be no Korean War. Without the state, there could be no Vietnam War. Without the state, there could be no Iraq War. Without the state, there could be no Afghanistan War. Without the state, there could be no concentration camps for Japanese people. Without the state, there could be no extermination of the American Indians. Without the state, there could be no institutionalized slavery. Without the state, there could have been no Tuskegee experiment. Without the state, there could be no Soviet gulags. Without the state, there could be no Jewish concentration camps. All of these things, and without the state, there could be no public school shootings. We'll come to that later. All of these things, when you look at all the people that have been murdered in the history of the human species, virtually all of them have been murdered by the state. When you sit here and go, well, this one guy went into a school and shot 20 people. Okay, he got 20 kids. Stalin got how many millions of people? Yeah, 20 kids. It's a sad thing. It doesn't really stack up to the millions and billions that have been murdered by the state. Okay, so this whole thing, that this whole idea that the state is what prevents people from killing each other is wrong. The state enables it. The idea that the police prevent crimes from happening, and the idea that the police prevent people from stealing your stuff and that they somehow protect your property, this is absolute nonsense. When you get out of your car, you lock the car. There's not a police officer standing there preventing somebody from stealing it. You know, Stefan goes through this whole brilliant thing, you know, like when your properties get stolen, you call the cops just because sometimes you have to, whatever, insurance purposes. I mean, how many times have the police ever found something that was stolen from you and brought it back to you? Most likely, never. Unless, of course, you are rich or politically connected. In which case, then yes, the police will go find your stolen stuff. The idea that we need the state to make things illegal. I've talked about this before. We're going to touch on it some more. You know, you hear, in the school shootings are a perfect example of this. We need more, because just in here in Colorado, we just passed some more gun control laws. Oh, now that, yeah, and this is the perfect thing. We're going to pass some more gun control laws to prevent school shootings. Okay, killing people is already against the law. How is making more laws about gun ownership going to stop people from killing people? It's not. And if the state can stop people, if the police can stop people from killing people by passing laws, again, then how are people getting killed? Right, we're going to pass these laws, these gun control laws, because it's going to allow the police to prevent school shootings. Okay, killing people, regardless of whether you do it with a gun or a knife or a car or a piece of string or your dick or whatever, killing people is already against the law. If the police, because something is against the law, can prevent it from happening, then there would be no school shootings. Yet there are school shootings. Why? Because making something against the law does not mean that anybody can be stopped from doing it. The laws have no fucking meaning in any practical sense. Now, the laws do have a purpose. The laws have a purpose in that they perpetuate crime. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself again. Right, but those of you who are statist, those of you who are stupid, those of you who are in the 99%, you always believe that, well, we're just three laws away from perfection. You know, well, we can end, we just need some more laws. This is like this is the three laws away from perfection fallacy. It's like the reform fallacy. You know, we can fix the broken education system. We just need to reform it. Well, it's been reformed how many times already? And every time you say you have to reform it, what you're saying is everything we did before didn't work. With the three laws from perfection fallacy, you say, oh, well, there were these school shootings, we need to stop them. Well, we just need some more gun control laws. If we just have a few more gun control laws, we're going to stop the school shootings from happening. Well, you're not. I mean, we already have a police state. We have police officers with machine guns and body armor. And it's against the law to kill people. And the police and the military have a virtually unlimited budget. And yet the school shootings still happen. Passing a few more gun control laws is not going to change that. So now let's get back to the anarchist world as you see it, where the warlords are running around with their gangs and murdering and raping people. And this is what you think would happen if the state were to shut down, if there was no government. Oh yes, and of course the corporations would also be ruling the land. It would be a knockdown drag out between the corporations and the warlords to see who is going to impose their power on you. So let's take a look at what would happen. If the state were to shut down, there would be no government. Of course, if the state were to shut down, there would also be no corporations. Corporations, like laws, are things that do not exist. And when I say laws, I mean laws as in the legal code. I don't mean laws of nature like the law of gravity. Corporations, like laws and like governments, are things that do not really exist. They are a figment of the state. Corporations only exist because the government says they do. And I've done this at length before, so I'm doing a very short version of this. You know, if Bob goes out and opens a valve and dumps chemical toxic waste into a river, everybody looks at that and goes, Bob did that. Everybody with common sense knows that that was done by Bob. The government comes along and says, well, no. Bob is part of a corporation, and the corporation is responsible, and so you can't hold Bob accountable. And so Bob gets away with it. And for Bob, you know, insert the CEO or whatever. You know, this is how the banking corporations can do all this stupid shit, and yet none of the CEOs get blamed, and they get bailed out by the government. Because, of course, well, nobody actually did all of those stupid things that the banking corporations did. They're corporations. It was done by this mythological entity. So anybody with common sense can see that corporations, even though the government says corporations have rights, and even though the government says corporations are people, anybody who's not stupid can see that a corporation doesn't have rights and that a corporation is not a person. People have rights. People are people. So the CEO who made a stupid investment decision, you know, should pay the fines and should take the brunt of the punishment. But of course, because it's a corporation, they hide behind that. So without the state, without the government, there are no corporations. So in an anarcho-capitalist society, corporations are not going to rule the land because there are no corporations. There can be no corporations without the state. And of course, if you say the corporation doesn't exist, the state will come and force you to believe in the corporation. And of course, up to the point where if you try to hold Bob personally responsible for dumping the toxic waste into the river, you know, the government will tell you no, he didn't do it. And if you keep pressing the issue, the government will use force to stop you from pressing the issue. And if you keep pressing the issue, eventually the government will kill you. So in an ANCAP society where there is no state, and keep in mind, so the warlords need tools, just like everybody else, to do what they're going to do. And so, of course, the vision we have is the warlords are going to have tanks, and they're going to have guns, and all this other stuff. So, in an ANCAP society, where there is no state, where there is no government, and where there are no corporations, who's going to buy tanks? Who could afford, other than the government, because the government can print money when it wants, and because the government can take money from citizens in the form of taxes, who, other than the government, can afford to buy a tank? Who, other than the government, can afford to buy an F-14 aircraft? Who, other than the government, can afford to buy a aircraft carrier? Nobody. And because nobody can afford to buy these things, and you're going to say, well, what about the rich CEOs? Okay, we just covered that. The rich CEOs are rich because of their participation in the corporations, because the corporations do funny accounting, because the corporations have all this money, blah, blah, blah. There are no corporations. Bill Gates, in an ANCAP society, might still have a lot of money, but the odds of him having as much money as he has now are pretty fucking slim. Because part of the reason he has as much money as he does is because of the corporate structure, which allows him to extend his reach and to, via the government, of course, force a lot of things on a lot of people. And that's another whole... excuse me. That's another whole topic, and you can actually get some insight on that from the Stefan Molyneux video below about Netscaping. About Netscape and Internet Explorer. Excuse me while I choke to death. This is interesting. When I'm talking all nice and calm and not screaming and stuff, my voice starts going out. Don't you love that? All right, where was I? Yes. So the warlords are going to be roaming the streets with their tanks and their battleships, you know, and their F-14 fighter crafts. But without a state, nobody can afford to buy these things. That means nobody can afford to manufacture these things. But then you say, wait, if we descend into anarchy, ANCAPism right now today, those things are still going to exist. They exist right now. And the warlords will go get those tanks, and they will use them to oppress the people. Okay, but who's going to maintain those tanks? Military technology, especially today in the United States, is very complicated. It's very technical. And ask people who are in the military who work in the motor pools and who do the repairs. Ask them how often those Apache helicopters break down. Ask them how often those M1 Abrams tanks break down. And maintaining that shit and getting fuel for that stuff takes a hell of a lot of money and a hell of a lot of work and a giant supply chain, and all of that stuff ultimately has to come from a corporation. And remember, the corporations don't exist anymore because the government isn't there to force you to believe in unicorns and leprechauns and corporations and things that don't exist. So maybe the warlord would get a tank and he'd drive around in it till it runs out of fuel. And then you got a really big fucking paperweight. I mean, it might make for a bunker until you run out of ammunition for it, or until a critical component breaks. You know, and taking it to the extreme, You know, what about the Nimitz-class aircraft carriers? They're there. They exist right now. Some warlord might get a hold of a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, and they could control New York City with that. Right. And who's going to run that Nimitz-class aircraft carrier? A Nimitz-class aircraft... I could wiki this, but I'm not going to. You can do it. You have Google. You fucking know how to use it. A Nimitz-class aircraft carrier requires, I'm going to guess, you know, at least 2,000 people to run the damn thing effectively. I mean, how many people would it take, like a skeleton crew, for an aircraft carrier? Just make it go from one point to another. A skeleton crew has got to be at least 100 people. And I'm not talking about flying the aircraft on it. I'm talking about just making the carrier run enough that it could float under its own, I guess it's not floating, that it could sail under its own power from point A to point B. So where is this warlord going to get all of these people, not only who are willing to do this with him and for him, right? And we'll get to that in a second. Where is he, but not just willing, but able. And I just want to mention yet again, I've said this before, but yeah, the things like the Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, this is where you see, you know, the conflict that is inherent in all people. Because the lizard side of my brain looks at those and goes, God damn, that's fucking awesome. That is a giant piece of firepower that can fuck up, you know, a Nimitz-class carrier can devastate an entire city. And on one hand, I look at that and go, God damn it, that is fucking cool. But then the anarcho-capitalist side of my brain looks at it and says, wow, how fucking evil and wasteful is that? Can you imagine if all the money and the manpower and the technology and the time that goes into building, designing, building, then maintaining a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier. What if all of that was channeled into something useful, like curing cancer, or figuring out how to build roads that don't have to be rebuilt every 5 years because of shitty construction, because of government contracts? Or what if all of that was put into the space program? What if all the effort that had been put into building the, I want to say we have 12 Nimitz-class carriers. What if all that resource, all that manpower, all that technology, all of that actual raw material, what if all of the fuel, they don't actually use fuel. They don't use fuel. They use nuclear power, but the aircraft on them use fuel. What if all of that had been put into building a base on the moon? Right, the Nimitz-class aircraft carrier is a gigantic fucking waste of resources. All right. Thank you, Randy, for pointing out that I need to watch the time. All right, so this warlord, though, this warlord has his tanks, and he's got a bunch of fuel, and he's got an aircraft carrier, and he's got 1,000 men who are willing to, who know how to work an aircraft carrier and fly the airplanes. And so he's going to take over the aircraft carrier. And he's going to use it to dominate New York City. How's he paying these guys? Well, they're going to rape and pillage and take stuff. Well, okay, so they're going to go in and they're going to burn down New York City. And they're going to destroy things. And then they're going to take what? I mean, they've just pillaged and destroyed New York City. What are they going to take that has value? Well, they're going to take gold. Okay, for what? Well, they're going to exchange it for stuff of value. Like what? Well, like guns. Okay, well, who's going to build guns? If you kill all the people, who's going to build guns? Well, they're going to exchange it for food. Well, wait, if you kill all the people, who's going to grow and produce food? The idea that there are going to be all of these people who are willing to say, I have a choice. I could live peacefully with my neighbors and exchange things of value and be with my family and my friends and enjoy myself. And, you know, I could make shoes, and then my friend Bob, he could grow food, and my friend Alice, she could make clothing, and we could trade with each other and we could live in peace and harmony. I could do that. Or I could go serve this warlord who is going to, on a regular basis, put me in situations where I could get killed. And I'm going to live a miserable, shitty life where I get to rape a whole bunch of different women, but most of the time I'm just hanging out with a bunch of other sausage jockeys that don't take a shower and smell bad, and we're going to run around and we're going to rape and destroy things, and sometime, and one day I might get killed because I'm doing violence to other people. Wow, that sounds like a great idea. I think I'm going to do that. I mean, who are these people who would make that choice? Now, I'm not saying they don't exist. You can find them. Look at the police. Look at many people in the military. These are the kind of people who enjoy killing other people because they enjoy it. I mean, there's a little redundancy for you. They enjoy killing other people because they enjoy it. Whoa, goddamn, the logic here is flowing. There are people who enjoy serving a warlord so that they can kill people. These people do exist. The thing is, they are right now, they're the people who form the police force. I knew a guy, he was in the military for a while, and then he did some DEA shit. And he told me outright, he loved doing drug bust because he could break into somebody's house and shove them to the floor. And he said, I like standing there with my foot on their head and my gun pointed at their head. I enjoy the power. These are the people who are the military. These are the people who are the police force. These are the people who are the DEA and the Department of Homeland Security. These are the people. So when you sit here and say there's going to be warlords with these gangs ruling the world in an ANCAP society, we already have that. The warlord is your cocksucking Obama, Hussein Obama. Your cocksucking Obama. Your cocksucking Messiah, Hussein Obama. You know, before him, the warlord was fucking Monkey Boy W. Bush. The warlord is the president, and the gang is the police, and the DEA, and the Department of Homeland Security. How the hell is it 2 o'clock already, Randy? Jesus. And the military. So all of these things that you say are going to happen in an ANCAP society, we already have them. We're already there. So this is where I get to the part of my notes where I've already talked about Hobbes and how his theory that the state is what prevents a species from preying on itself is exactly backwards. What prevents a species from preying on itself is anarcho-capitalism, is freedom, okay? So here's another analogy for you. Tigers do not eat other tigers. If a tiger goes around eating other tigers, eventually one of those tigers is going to kill him. And furthermore, a tiger who goes around eating other tigers is not going to be able to reproduce and pass on his DNA, which is his biological imperative. And of course, I am calling the tiger in the example a he, because we all know that women are compassionate and a female tiger would never kill other tigers. That's impossible because the only thing females, well, human females, the only thing they're good at killing is their own children. So women would, of course, never do this. But so we say, well, Hobbes comes up and he says, no, we have to have the state to prevent people from killing other people because that's our nature, is to kill each other. Well, no, it's not. Because if our nature was to kill each other, how the fuck did we get to the point where we could have a state? How did we survive all those thousands and thousands and thousands of years before there was a state? And I know some of you think there was never a time when there wasn't a state. I can only assume you're some kind of weird creationist who thinks that, you know, God created Adam and Eve. Because if you believe in evolution, if you believe that, like, when Neanderthal men were running around, like, there was a state, and there was a president, and a Department of Homeland Security and shit, and there were laws and police officers to make sure they... If you believe that, you have to be fucking stupid. You have to be one of the 99%. Well, you probably are. You are, if you believe that. Okay? The human species, Homo sapiens and Homo sapiens sapiens and our ancestors and all the other... How is it that all the other species on Earth are still here? I just said it. Tigers don't run around killing other tigers. Woodchucks don't run around killing other woodchucks. Squirrels don't run around killing other squirrels. The idea that the nature of human beings is that without a state to stop us from doing it, we'd run around and kill and rape each other. I mean, this is absolute fucking psychobabble nonsense. This is the kind of shit you have to go to college in order to be stupid enough to fucking believe that. And of course, I've talked about this before, how we take what we want and we project it on other people. So when somebody comes to me and they say, well, without the state, you know, people would run around and kill each other. I say to them, well, why do you want to kill other people? Well, I don't want to kill other people. Other people do. I'm like, really? So how do you have intimate knowledge of what other people would do? Okay, all of us only know what one other person would do in the world. That's us. I can only speak for myself. I make assumptions about other people, and I, like everybody, make assumptions about other people based on who I am, what I think and believe, and my experiences, okay? And all of this together, the assumption I make about other people is I know good and goddamn well that most people, even those of you who are statist, okay? Because like I said, statists don't want to come to my house and take my guns away from me. Statists want the state to come to my house and take my guns away from me. Statists don't want to kill people for smoking marijuana. Statists want other people. They want the state to kill people for smoking marijuana. Statists don't want to have to get off their ass and go stop homosexuals from getting married. Statists want the state to go out and stop homosexuals from getting married. So even those of you who are statist and those of you who would, if there were no state, want to go out and kill other people for your own personal convenience, are likely not to do it because you would have to get off your ass and do it. Right? It's real easy to sit here and say warlords would have gangs running around killing people in an anarchy. Okay, who's going to be in those gangs? Who are the people who are first of all going to reject the opportunity to stay with their friends and their family and do what they enjoy and have a peaceful life? Who are the people who are going to throw that away and be willing to go out there and take the chance, you know, and actually be the one to shoot at other people, knowing that those people are going to fucking shoot back at you, and knowing that in an ANCAP society, there will not be a state to protect the criminals? Okay, because I get slightly ahead of myself again, but the purpose of the state, and as Stefan Molyneux says, the police are not there to protect your property or anything else. The state and the police exist to protect the criminals. Because without the criminals, there is no crime. Without crime, the state doesn't have a purpose, because the state comes and we protect you from crime. Okay, in order to protect me from crime, there needs to be a threat of crime. If there's no threat of crime, I don't need you, the state, to protect me from crime. Therefore, the state has a vested interest in making sure there are criminals to go out and do crime. So let me back up a second. In an ANCAP society, the state collapses tomorrow. The government is gone. The corporations are gone. ANCAP society right here in the United States. There are going to be some guys who, I'm a warlord, and they're going to get, you know, some fucking teenage boys who don't have any sense. And they're going to form a gang, and they're going to get some guns, and they're going to go out, and they're going to start shooting people and doing gang-like warlord stuff. Okay? Just like you envision. And it's going to last for a couple of days, because you know what's going to happen? They're going to get killed. There's not going to be a state to say, oh, you private citizens, you can't have a gun and protect yourself from people who come to kill you. You have to let us protect you. And by the way, we'll be at the donut shop. Okay? It's just like with the school shootings. The reason the school shootings happen is, first of all, because the state forces the kids to go to school, but also because nobody in there has a gun. Because, well, the state's going to protect us, and the state doesn't protect them, okay? When these warlords go out and do shit, they're going to get shot, and they're going to die, and the problem is going to be solved. Because this is how evolution and natural selection work. If there's a member of a species that goes around killing other members of that species, that member of the species either eventually gets killed by the other members of its own species, or it finally at some point dies off without passing on its DNA. I guess it could rape, you know, this tiger could rape female tigers and not kill them and pass on its DNA that way. I suppose it could happen. Okay? But hey, we have things like abortion. We're not going to have that problem. So if the state collapses, there might be a few warlords with gangs for a few days. But without the state to protect them from people defending themselves, they're going to die. That's how the fuck natural selection works. So this brings us to, we're closing in on the end, and sadly, Randy, how am I, hold on, oh yeah, there's no way in hell I'm getting all this into one, this was supposed to be one episode, so much for that. Alright, the state protects the criminals because, just like, how can I spend, I don't want to go into the next section because we don't have time, okay. Remember, the state has to solve a problem, or at least the state has to be perceived as solving a problem. However, if the problem gets solved, then you no longer have a need for the solution. You no longer have a need for the state. This is why, for example, with poverty, the state does not solve the government does not lift people out of poverty, because if the government eliminated poverty, there would be no more need, for example, for food stamps, which means all the people in the food stamp industry don't have a job anymore. That's not going to happen. The government has to perpetuate poverty in order to keep solving poverty. And by solving, I mean keep the state in business. Okay, crime works exactly the same way. The state does not protect you from warlords and gangs. The state does not protect you from criminals. The state perpetuates crime by passing more laws and making more and more things illegal. And it perpetuates crime by breeding criminals, by keeping criminals alive, by keeping the criminal justice system, there's a funny phrase, you know, churning people, putting people into prisons where they become more hardened, more bitter, and rightly so, where they learn more about how to be criminals, and then turning them back into society where they can do more crimes, where they can shoot more children in schools, so that you can scream for more protection and more police and more laws, which in turn creates more crime. Okay, it's a cycle that doesn't stop because it can't be allowed to stop. Because if the state eliminates crime, then the state eliminates one of the reasons for its own existence. All right, we're going to take a break, and at some point, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, we will finish this one up. And there will be another episode in which I will complete all of these thoughts.